again. My name's Eileen, and I'm an addict. At this time, I would like to introduce our speaker, Craig from Pennsylvania.
I'm an addict named Craig. Hey, everybody. And I've had a wonderful time in San Diego. Thank you. Thank you very, very much. San Diego holds a very special place in my heart. I have very, very significant memories of being here in 2003 with Ashley, a member that's no longer with us in body, but is always with me and others in spirit. It was also in 2003 on one of the boat cruises where I got down on one knee and proposed to my wife. There were a lot of surprised people on the boat that night. They were wondering what was I doing down on one knee and proposed. Well, they didn't know what I was doing. They just saw me down on one knee. But what I was doing was proposing to my wonderful wife. And I love you very much. So being back in San Diego for this convention just means so much to me. I also want to thank the World Board and the Programming Committee for asking me to share this morning and be a part of this event. I've been involved with Unity Days in the past, numerous Unity Days. I've stood on this stage, had a different task other than being the speaker, but the function was still the same, and that is to be of service to Narcotics Anonymous. So I want to thank them for giving me that opportunity. Also, I want to do a special call out, though, to not only all of the groups and areas and members on the line, but I want to do a call out to the institutions on the line. On behalf of Narcotics Anonymous, I want to say, we love you. And to don't go anywhere, because we have plans for you. Your presence on the line helps validate all of our H&I and public relations efforts around the world. It also helps to reaffirm the fact that our message knows no boundaries, that our message transcends walls and barbed wire and cells, and that you have a big family and a lot of friends. You just haven't met them yet. So thank you for being with us this morning. And before I go any further, because I know the clock is ticking, I want to say that I'm not a politician, I'm not an entertainer, and I'm not a preacher. I do a little singing from time to time, but no, I'm not going to do that. And the reason I'm saying that is because it's important to me to always say that the things that I hold dear in my heart and my values and my vision and my dreams and my experiences are not necessarily yours, and that what I share is not the expressed opinion of Narcotics Anonymous, but is my experience. I always try to share from the heart. I always try to share with passion and honesty and humility. And I really, really appreciate your experiences and your opinions. But I tell you, I am inspired today. And make no mistake about it, my jets are fired up. I'm standing in front of people in front of me that I love dearly and people that I've served with for many, many years that I've missed a lot. And so I'm inspired, and God willing, what comes out of my mouth hopefully will inspire you. You know, I have, when I speak about values and vision and principles, I have 8 children and 11 grandchildren. My oldest grandson is 16, and my youngest granddaughter is 2 days old, 3 days old. And I'm 56 years old, and my oldest son is 36. And my youngest daughter is 8 years old. I have 7 grandsons, and they're all Tar Heel fans. Don't get that twisted. But the thing that I'm really inspired about, other than being here with my friends and family and people listening from around the world, what I'm really inspired about is that I truly embrace the principle that to whom much is given, much is expected. And the fact that Narcotics Anonymous not only changed my life, but transformed my family's future. I didn't have all those children before I got here. And I didn't have any of those grandchildren before getting clean. And just the fact that my life has changed has given them an opportunity to have a responsible, productive, loving, caring grandfather in their life. I'm actively involved in my family's life, and that means something to me, and I owe all of that to you. You see, I'm being warmed by a fire that I didn't build. I got clean in Raleigh, North Carolina. My first 20, where are those folks from Raleigh that I told to holler when I said that? Holla, holla, okay. My first 20 years in recovery was spent in Raleigh, North Carolina, and I live right outside of Philadelphia now in a place called Norristown. There you go. And so I didn't start Narcotics Anonymous in Raleigh, North Carolina. And I certainly didn't start it in Philadelphia or outside of Philadelphia. But I came to NA and people welcomed me. The literature was already out on the tables. The chairs were already in a circle. So when I say that I'm being warmed by a fire that I didn't build, I'm serious about that. I've come to believe that I don't have to pay them back. The best way that I can honor them is to pay it forward. And what that means is that any opportunity that I have to do something for Narcotics Anonymous, if I can do it, I'm doing it. And I'm going to bring everything and every gift that God has given me to the table. And sometimes my opinions and ideas might be a little different than others, but I'm not here to sound arrogant or self-righteous or condescending. I'm here to be me. And this is who I am. And one thing that I hold dear today is to be authentic and to be genuine. I'm not one person in the rooms and then another person outside the door. I don't share clean and live dirty. That's just not who I am. You guys gave that to me. I have some integrity, and it's important for me to express that. Just the fact that today is Unity Day, you know, I would be remiss if I didn't stick to the script and talk some about unity and what it means to me. You see, when I think of unity, I don't think of uniformity. Before I got to Narcotics Anonymous, everybody that I hung around with, we somehow or another start looking alike. we wore the same uniform, and we had a uniform that we wore, white T-shirts, white sneakers, and jeans. We did the same thing, and, you know, we had our little camaraderie. But you guys have taught me something different about unity. Unity is about differences. Here's who we are. Here's who I think we are. We're black. We're white. We're brown. We're red. We're yellow. We're old school. We're new school. We're preschool. We're HIV positive. We're HIV negative. We're of every sexual orientation. We're North America, we're South America, we're Central America, we're Latin America, we're Africa, we're India, we're Europe, we're Asia, we're Eurasia. We're the Far East, we're the Middle East, we're down under, and we're up top. And wherever else place I miss, we're inside, we're outside. And that's who we are. And it's important to recognize that those differences are a strength and not a weakness. When I came to Narcotics Anonymous, the first NA meeting that I came to was back in the mid-1980s. I went to an NA meeting. I had drugs in my sock and paraphernalia because I never left home without it. I was standing on the corner with no shirt on and just shorts on. And a friend came by and said, "Do you want to go for a ride?" Now, this was a get-high buddy, so when he said, "Do you want to go for a ride," what that meant to me was we were going to COP. And we ended up at a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. I spent the whole meeting, well, the first thing I did was I gravitated over to the table where there were a bunch of women sitting at the table. They all had little white wristbands, though. I didn't know what it was about. And toward the end of the meeting, as it was on a Friday night, I stood up, I was high as a kite, stood up and told them what they could do about their drug problem. So I like to believe that I'm the reason why we share. If you've used today, please just listen. And I tell you, none of those people looked like me. They were not my skin color. So I immediately disqualified myself from your little program. Here's the truth of the matter. They could have all been my skin color. At that point, it didn't matter because I wasn't ready. Here are the things that we share that I believe when it comes to unity. We share an unbreakable bond. There's something irreducible that we share with each other. We are survivors of the same near fatal catastrophe. We have the same disease. It's our disease. But more importantly, we share the same program and the same solution to our problem. That is something that can't be replicated or duplicated anywhere. It is who we are. Those are the things that bring us together. When I got back to Narcotics Anonymous in 1987, because I'm an 87 person, if I don't use or die next month, I'll celebrate 24 years clean. When I got back to Narcotics Anonymous, I was a little more ready and a little more willing. And it wasn't because I saw the light, I felt the heat. My ass was on fire. You know, we talk about pain as a motivator. Here is the real pain. I went to treatment on March 7th, 1987, and came out on May 2nd. The second day I was out, I drank because I didn't have a liquid problem. I hadn't even embraced the fact that I hadn't embraced the concept of addiction as yet. I had a drug problem, a certain type of drug. And if you just show me how to stop doing that drug, I'll be okay. Here is what pain is. I weighed 115 pounds when I went in that treatment center. Yeah, I'm not a big person, but I was underweight. Malnourished, but I remember telling my wife, shit, I look damn good. And I was one of those people that I came to meetings late and left early in Raleigh. Didn't give anyone a chance to know me. Didn't get a sponsor. Didn't get a home group, and by the way, just stick with what everyone else was sharing. My home group is the Get Well Soon group of Narcotics Anonymous in Conshohocken, Pennsylvania. We meet every Thursday night at 8 o'clock. And yeah, they do things a little different, but I'm a member. Pain is knowing that there's a different way to live and going back to the old way again. And that's what happened for me. I couldn't get all the little slogans about recovery out of my mind. I went to COP, and I walked away, and the guy said, keep coming back. Just for today. I was under tremendous pain. And I thought I could shoot it away, drink it away, or smoke it away. It didn't happen for me. And so when I finally felt enough heat, the denial had been breached. And it would never be the same again. It's like this. I know there are a lot of people in here my age, so you probably can relate to this. I haven't always had cable TV. I don't know about you. Okay? When I first put cable on my TV, and then when I didn't pay the bill and they turned the cable off, I had to take the coax cable out. What I found out was the TV didn't work the same. Do any of you can relate to that? For some reason, after putting that cable on there, it didn't work the same. And so once I got to recovery and found a new way to live, and even though I was coming infrequently and certainly wasn't following any directions, using wasn't the same anymore. And Narcotics Anonymous and you guys messed up my using. It just wasn't the same. And so one of the things that I believe about us, I believe that we are a chosen people. And when I say that, I don't mean that there's anything that's in my past that makes me so special or makes me so unique. What I mean by that is that we are chosen because we have a responsibility. And that if you're clean today, I'm clean because of what someone else did for me. And I'm suggesting to you, I don't do a lot of telling people what to do. I have grandkids that I tell what to do, and they don't follow directions. So I'm certainly not here to suggest, to tell you what to do. What I am suggesting to you, if you're clean, it's because of what someone else did for you. And that wherever you live, whatever community you live in, inside, outside, there's someone on their way to Narcotics Anonymous. There's someone on their way to your group. There's honestly, I believe, that there's someone within a mile of this convention center that's on their way to Narcotics Anonymous. My responsibility as a citizen of this fellowship is to make sure that they have not the same, but a better opportunity for recovery. This is what I think about our program, because I believe part of the reason for me being here today is this is not about me. This is about Narcotics Anonymous. This is what I believe about our program. We have a very, very rich history. We have an even more dynamic presence. But I believe that our best days are yet to come. And that we have a rendezvous with destiny. And that any time that I reach out to a newcomer or do anything involved with service in my home group, pick up chairs, pick up cups. I mean, when did that get out of fashion to do that? But any time that I do that, I help fulfill the legacy of all of those people that were here before me that have given their time and effort to make a place for me to come to. And to make sure, when I talk about that rendezvous with destiny, it doesn't mean that I'll be there to meet that destiny, because I believe we do plant trees, or we do plant trees that I'll never sit under. What it means, though, is that I keep those folks in mind when I'm being a service in Narcotics Anonymous, and to try to help them. The same way those members in Raleigh, North Carolina, and now Pennsylvania, are making a place for me to recover. I came to NA from what I call an alternate universe. I came from a place where right was wrong, and wrong was right. And that beautiful was ugly, and ugly was beautiful. And that the rules didn't apply to me, they applied to you. And fear and insecurity ruled the day. I came from a place where manhood was measured by how many girlfriends you had. Character was defined by outside, external factors, what you look like, what kind of car you drive, how much money you have. All of that was coupled with the constant craving to be somebody different and to be somewhere different. fueled by an obsession to take anything outside myself to try to fill that hole that I had inside, that I had been living with all my life. I'm a person that believed that I was born with this disease. I always have been, I am, and always will be an addict. I believe that I was born with this disease, but through the principles of the program, I don't have to die from it. That obsession and taking all those things outside myself to try to fill that void, the funny thing about that, what I found out was that the more I took, the more I wanted. And that the hole got bigger. And that it was a bottomless pit. Enough was only an illusion. And temporary at best. And that's the way that I had been living for a long, long time. Well, today I'm here to talk about a miracle that's happened in my life. Just for today, I don't need a person, place, or thing to be okay with me. I am enough. And all of those negative connotations that have played out throughout my life, and they manifested themselves in different ways of being unworthy, inferior, being unattractive, unlovable, all of those negative connotations have mostly gone away. Now, don't get me wrong. They still come up because I compare myself with other people. But they are lessened today because I can be me. You see, God don't make no mistakes. I am not a mistake. I made mistakes, but I'm here for a reason. And I believe that, here's what I believe. I wouldn't trade places with any one of you out there today. For me to say that is a big deal. And I'm not saying that in a negative way about you. What I'm saying is every single one of us has value and something to offer. When I was at the end of my road, I found the path in Raleigh that people had already cut the path for me. I'm not even going to begin to call out the names of all of those folks because I'll probably miss someone. They know who they are. And those guys that didn't look like me took me up under their wing and nurtured me and welcomed me. They hugged me in spite of all of the stuff that I was saying. They hugged me in spite of all of the things that all of the people that I had hurt in my lifetime. It didn't matter to them. What they said was, if you're willing to try, we're willing to help. And so for me, I hug anybody who wants to hug me. At the same time, if you don't want to hug me, I don't worry about it either. I don't chase people. I just be who I am. Because what I know is that this is not Friendship Anonymous. This is Narcotics Anonymous. I love and respect everyone. And I'm not a person that goes around doing a lot of talking about our principles and what I do, et cetera, et cetera. I try to let the way I live speak for itself. One of the experiences that I had early in my recovery that was a turning point for me, out of all these turning points I've had since I've been clean. But one of the most significant turning points was I woke up one day and wanted to get high. Wanted to use. I had been thinking about it for weeks and hadn't shared it with anyone. I thought, if I do enough exercises, if I do enough push-ups, it'll be okay. I can exercise my way out of it. Or it'll just go away. Well, it didn't go away. It grew. And so I woke up one morning. The stars were aligned. Wife was at work. Kids were in school. That's one of the things I found out when I got clean, that my kids were in elementary school. I wonder where they went every morning. I had money in my pocket, and I had the car. Everything was aligned. And my disease said, go get high. Go get high. Go get high. Go get high. But there was a tiny voice inside me that said, call your sponsor. Call your sponsor. Craig, call your sponsor. And it kept getting louder and louder. And so, for the first time, I did what you people told me to do. Call somebody before I use, not after. And I stayed clean that day. But it wasn't by myself. Here's the rest of the story. Because I believe in angels. And I definitely believe in destiny. My sponsor sent me to, there was a little clubhouse in Raleigh at the time. I got down to the clubhouse. I sat down. There was this guy there that had just gotten out of treatment that day. Had 1,000 questions. What is sponsorship? What is a home group? All these questions. And so, of course, I knew just enough to be dangerous. I said, sit right down here in front of me. Let me start sharing with Joe. So for about an hour, I started talking to him about our program. And it dawned on me that I actually had started my morning raking leaves. And I had some work to do at home. So I said to him, so what are you doing the rest of the day? I said, come on, go with me. I took him home. And we both raked leaves that day and did yard work around my house. And before I knew it, the obsession was gone. Not only was the obsession gone, he disappeared. To this day, true story, I have not seen him since. So if you were that guy in Raleigh, North Carolina, in October of 1987, get with me after the meeting. This is where recovery has been like for me, because I don't have but a few more minutes. You know, I try not to measure my recovery by how many days that I've been clean. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe clean time counts. I'm not one of those people that believe that the first one that got up clean today has the most clean time. That's not how I roll. Clean time does count for something. That's why we do clean time countdowns and give out key tags. Experience counts in Narcotics Anonymous. But I measure my recovery sometimes in the life-on-life terms, experiences that I've gone through since I've been clean and haven't used. I've been through divorce. I've been through bankruptcy twice. I've been through death. I've been through surgery. I've been through a new wedding. I've been through the birth of my children and being in the delivery room. I've been through family members dying and me being the representative of my family being asked to say words at my dad's brothers and sisters' funeral ceremonies. I've been through those children that I talk about. I've been through a 2-year legal battle for custody of my younger daughters with my fourth step being shared in court. And winning joint custody, or winning may not be the right word, but being given joint custody of my children. And through that process of anger and rage at their mother, forgiving her. And those are the things, some of the highlights of life on life's terms that I've been through in recovery and didn't have to get high. There are two analogies that I like to use when I think about my recovery and what's happened. One of them is going to the gym. When I first started going to the gym, I saw all of these guys that had been exercising and working out for years, and I wanted to be just like them without any of the effort. You know, it's like when I first got clean and came to NA and saw people with 2 and 3 years clean, and I immediately wanted 10 years clean without doing the work. What I found out, for me to find some benefit to what these guys were doing and so it would help me, is to do what they do. So what I did was I went up to guys in the gym that I didn't know and asked them to help me. So when I came to Narcotics Anonymous, the way for me to get what you have is to do what you do and to follow directions. Usually I'm not a person that's good on following direction. I've lost my license 7 times. And it wasn't because I couldn't drive, it was because the rules weren't made for me. So following directions is a big thing for me. The other thing about working out and the parallel to recovery is that I haven't gotten like those guys. I don't necessarily look like they do. And this is what I mean by that, is that I go to the gym and I do what they do and I follow the techniques, et cetera, et cetera. But I turned out the way that I'm supposed to turn out. There are no two recoveries exactly alike. We're on the same journey, but we all have different things to go through. And that my perception and the things that happen for me in recovery may not necessarily be your perception or the things that happen for you. Anytime that I put I put extra weight on the bar and I do different things in the gym to try to increase what I can do, anytime I do that successful, that becomes my new reality. In recovery, anytime I go through something new and get through it clean with other people's help, that becomes my reality in recovery. And I find out that I don't believe that there's nothing that I can't get through, go through, grow through, clean in recovery. If I keep doing what I'm doing, I'll keep getting what I'm getting. The other analogy is about driving. Now, I'm not a driver's ed instructor. I'm not here to take you through health and fitness 101 or driving 101. I'm just here to share what I believe and the way that I see this. You know, when I just told you I lost my license seven times. I got my license when I was 16 years old. I lost them 2 months later. I didn't get them back until I was 32. And I got clean when I was 32. I lost my license when I didn't even have them. What that means is every time I got stopped, I didn't have valid driver's license, and they kept just suspending them anyway and kept adding on. But it didn't matter because I had a car. I can keep driving. So here is the analogy to recovery. I need to follow directions in recovery. I don't have to make anything up. I tell the guys that I sponsor, read the black. You don't have to make anything up. The road is already paved for us. Follow directions. Find your way. Stop trying to be different. Do what we do, and you'll get what we get. So when I first started learning how to drive, it was all, you know, mechanical, fix your mirrors, fix that mirror. I put on the brakes too hard. I didn't put on the gas when I needed to put on. I certainly didn't wear seatbelts. Well, back then you didn't have to wear seatbelts, but that's a whole different story. But the important thing was to read the signs and obey the signs. In recovery, I've learned to read the signs and follow directions. There are times in recovery when I need to stop. There are times in recovery when I need to go. There are times in recovery when I need to yield. There are times in recovery, just like they are on the street, the sign says, one way, do not enter. I've learned to not always take the shortcut. You know, when you come to a light that holds long, but you can cut through that little service station right there or cut through that little parking lot and miss the light. Let me tell you, my life has been a life of shortcuts. And so sometimes I need to go to the light and be patient and wait for the light to change. Stay in my own lane. Don't have to say anything else about that. You guys get it. On trips, sometimes there's construction work. There are delays. There are detours. In recovery, I've run into detours and delays trying to get to my destination. And here's the most beautiful part about that. Sometimes I've gotten to where I needed to go by taking a different route. And didn't know that. When my oldest grandson was born, Andre, he's 16 years old, I thought it was one of the most terrible things that could happen. My daughter was just getting ready to start college. I was upset. What were we going to do? What was going to happen to me? And now I have a 16-year-old grandson that I love dearly. Here's the point I'm trying to make. Objects in the mirror are closer than they appear. And by that I mean everything is not always as it seems. Just because I feel it doesn't make it so. Just because I think it doesn't make it so. Just because you think something about me doesn't make it true. That's just maybe the way you think about me. I'm not one of those persons, and I have to tell you, I'm not one that says, I don't care what you think about me, because I do care what people think about me. I do care. But lastly, in closing, what I want to share with you guys is, number one, thank you for listening. Thank you for loving me and supporting me through my recovery and this weekend. And lastly, WCNA 35 is in Philadelphia. So even though I'm not a native Philadelphian, I live there, and that's my home. And that's my NA community. 2013, come to the convention in Philadelphia and experience the flavor of our NA community and take part in the atmosphere of recovery that is only found at a world convention. Thank you, thank you, thank you.